We gather this day with much to celebrate and with much for which to be thankful. You received a bulletin insert this morning with the names of 29 people of varying ages who have reached or are soon to reach an important milestone in their lives. Some of them are members of Grace. Some of them are related to members of Grace. And some of them have been connected with Grace as students or with Lutheran campus ministry through their participation in activities at Luther House. One thing they all have in common is that they have received or soon will be receiving a diploma, a certificate of graduation. This indeed is something to celebrate and for which to be grateful. Yet even while we are celebrating today, we are also keenly aware that two of the high schools in this community have felt the sting of death this past week. An 18-year-old student, Siniu Maitland, who attended Crescent Valley High School, took his own life this past Tuesday afternoon. Then on Wednesday, a beloved coach and mentor for some of our students at Corvallis High School, Will Kime, died from cancer that had metastasized and eventually overcame him. Like in today's gospel reading, a procession of life meets a procession of death. Like in today's narrative from 1 Kings, people on the verge of death, the widow and her son, receive life only for the widow to then experience the life of the son suddenly and inexplicably taken from her. Life is given and life is taken in these biblical narratives, which happened hundreds of years removed from one another. Each is a story of a widow with an only son. The only thing worse than being a single mother with an only son in biblical times was to be a single mother who had lost an only son. In that societal structure, it meant this mother, this widow, lost her hope for sustained support. She was then at the mercy of more removed family members or community members who might or might not see to her welfare. Thus, in our gospel story today, as Jesus was approaching the city of Nain and encountered a funeral procession, he had compassion on the person suffering most, the mother of the young man being carried to the gravesite. Had we been in that same situation, we probably would have said a silent prayer and let the procession pass, keeping a respectful distance, even as we felt and honored the sorrow before us. Yet Jesus stops the procession. Jesus approaches the widow and dares to say, "Do not weep." Jesus was keenly aware of the one weeping. Who in our community and our world weeps this day? Certainly the relatives and friends of Siniu Maitland, and certainly the relatives and friends of Will Kime weep this day. Yet these two deaths point to why we, as a larger community, weep, why we, as a society, weep. We weep because of that which takes life away, especially that which needlessly or unfairly takes life away. Suniu's death was the 13th known youth suicide in Oregon this year. This means that youth in Oregon are dying at a rate of one every 11 and a half days. This, people of God gathered here today, is a reason to weep. Before a youth or anyone of any age takes their own life, it means that the will to live has somehow been taken from them. Life has somehow become so complicated, so painful, so bereft of all hope that they can no longer see that which gives life. They can no longer see that which specifically holds life for them. The power and seduction of death overwhelms them. This is a reason to weep. Jesus didn't say to the widow, and does not say to us, do not weep because we don't have good reasons to weep. Jesus says, do not weep because he and he alone holds the key to that which gives life, that which has the power to restore us to life as we are going to the grave. Only Jesus is capable of turning our wailing into dancing and replacing our funeral clothes with clothes of joy. In the midst of very difficult realities of the world around us, we are here today to be reminded that Jesus has the power to sustain and give life when surrounded by death and in spite of death. This does not mean that we will somehow be spared that which leads to our own death. We are all in that procession, whether at the head, the tail, or somewhere in the middle. As St. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, if we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This means that death is not the final word. The life that God gives is ultimately stronger than death. We have experienced and will continue to experience many deaths and resurrections throughout our life before we are led to that final and most important resurrection after the breath of life on earth is taken from us. So while here, we take the life that God has given us. We learn, we grow, we graduate, we use our gifts, and we give life to others. We take and we give as we celebrate that which we are given. Celebrating the conferral of academic degrees is a good and life-giving thing to do. The degree one receives may or may not immediately apply to one's multiple vocations, those things which God ultimately calls one to do. Yet be assured that the education that has taken place and all the experiences that have gone with it will be used in the living out of one's vocations. With each of life's milestones, we are more deeply rooted in the call given us in our baptism to love as we have been loved, to give as we have received, and to let our light shine so that others will see goodness and glorify the God from which that goodness comes. Whether we graduate once, twice, or more, or never graduate, our life is sustained by gathering again and again with the people of God to remember who we are and whose we are. through the sacraments, through baptism and Holy Communion, we take life, the life of Christ, the body of Christ, in order to speak life in the midst of the death that occurs around us on a daily basis. When you receive communion today, you will receive the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. Then take and give Christ's life in you to others. Give Christ's life in you to others, whether you are a graduate, the parent or grandparent of a graduate, a future graduate, or simply a sister or brother to a graduate. We celebrate this day not because we are united by the education we have or have not received. We celebrate this day because we are united by the God who has made us all, loves all of us, and continually turns our weeping into joy. Soli Deo Gloria. Please rise in body or spirit, raise your voice, and sing a new day and a new church into being. Amen.